Gunslinger Posse, and welcome to Branded. Trying to get this to go away. There we go. We're finally away. On September 4th, 2024, our 40th episode brought to you by South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital. He's Tom Minas, if I could point in the right direction, head coach and general manager of the San Antonio Gunslingers. I'm Ralph Judkins, your host of a show all about the San Antonio Gunslingers of the IFL. Like to ask you to like and subscribe on YouTube, like and follow on Twitter and Facebook, and anywhere else you happen to follow us, and sound off with a comment in the comment section or a question for the coach. Coach, any comments before we get underway?
No, just glad to be here.
Oh, definitely. Definitely happy to be here. And we'll be back in just a moment with the first quarter of Branded.
It's the high school football season, the most exciting time of the year.
That's right, Greg. And John Wayne Service Company is in on the action with Texas Sports Productions.
Watch and listen to the hundreds of games this season on the all-new TSP app and vote for the John Wayne Player of the Game during the games and the John Wayne Player of the Week beginning on Sundays during the season.
Go to johnwayne.com to vote and be automatically entered to win a $10,000 home makeover.
Get in the game today with TSP
and John Wayne Service Company.
All right, team, huddle up. Just like in surgery, we need precision and teamwork. Trust me, just like on the field, if we stick to the playbook, we'll achieve excellence.
Coach, are you sure about this?
We've trained for this. We're experts. The San Antonio Gunslingers in South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital and Outpatient Center, where precision meets performance.
Dependability. It's expected by our customers, and it's demanded by me. I personally guarantee the certified techs we send to your home and the equipment we install are dependable. John Wayne's American Pride Comfort Systems are designed specifically for San Antonio's extreme heat and humidity and come with a lifetime warranty. For comfort you can depend on, call John Wayne today.
John Wayne Service Company is a proud sponsor of the San Antonio Gunslingers.
It's like literally like hockey and football had a baby.
Type of action you'll never see in the NFL.
Gunslingers, let's go, baby!
That's the best entertainment there is. Once you've been to a game, you're going to get hooked.
And welcome back to Branded as we kick off the first quarter with Tom Minas here. Coach, what's been going on this week? You're back home in Michigan for at least, what, another week before we get down here and get up close and personal on the 18th. What's going on?
Well, I think I got it down now, how to work from here efficiently. And for the most part, it's working out really well. Get up in the morning and check emails, return texts, do everything that I need to do. Spend about two and a half hours doing that. And then I'll take the dogs out or I'll go outside and do something for an hour. And I'll come back and I'll do another 3 hours working on stuff. And then for football, obviously. And that'll put me at around 5 hours there already before noon. And then while everyone's at lunch, I usually go out in the woods for an hour. And then I come back in and I work from about 1 to 4, 5 o'clock. And then have dinner with Miss Susan, which is great. And then usually my phone blows up from then until the time I go to bed from players, coaches, and everybody. I talked to a good friend of ours at that other podcast, the other league, Jim.
Yeah.
And we had a great conversation today. I hadn't visited him with him in a long time. Lots of rumors going on with the AFL and if they're going to be back. And new logos came out today. And I think a lot of people saw that they were doing rebranding. Good for them, man. I mean, you know, more teams, keep playing, you know. And then talked to a couple people about that are interested in buying an IFL team today, which was kind of fun. They asked me my opinion. I was all about it, obviously. Had a real short conversation with the commissioner, just checking in and seeing how the schedule's going, that kind of thing, the usual stuff coaches bug them about. He was gracious as always. We're getting close, everybody, to having a schedule. I think it's going to look a lot better than last year. And Mr. Commissioner, if you're listening, we play in the Western Conference, so I have to play Western teams this year. I don't mind one or two in the East, but
we played all of the good ones.
Yeah, well, and what a baptism, right? It's not going to get harder than it was last year. And if those damn refs would have did their job, I really do believe we might have been in the show, you know. So it's okay. You know, I got to get better. We got to get better as an organization. I got to get better as a coach. Players got to get better. We take that to heart. We got a big old chip on our shoulders for next year. I don't think any of our fans would expect anything less from us. And we're going to come in guns a-blazing. We'll just say that, and doing the best job we know how to do. Yeah. So it's been a busy week. We had a pretty good thunderstorm roll through. Did you guys get rain yesterday?
We've had rain for like the past 2 days, fairly heavy, occasional thunderstorms, nothing super heavy, nothing tropical.
You guys could use it though, right?
Oh yeah, we always can. The ground is always dry. Yeah. I did want to keep circle back on something that we have never talked about on this show that you mentioned. So you want to be the owner of an NFL franchise. You have been called more than once.
IFL.
I said NFL. I was thinking about
If they want to buy a team, they don't call me.
No, they don't. Many people, at least two that I know of, have called and talked to you about what to expect as a potential owner of a team in, well, at the time, the NAL. And now you were talking about IFL, but an indoor football team. There's some advice you can give. We've never talked about that. You want to share that advice? Not that anyone here is looking to buy an IFL team.
Well, but maybe they would be interested in the process, right?
So, right.
The first thing it's changed since I became a gunslinger. Now I say emulate Don Rackler. You want to be a great owner. You want to be a consummate professional in what you do and how you want to treat the community, how you want to treat your market, how you want to treat your coaches, your players, your staff. Emulate Don Rackler. And if you can't emulate Don Rackler, don't get out of the starting gate, because right. You're doing yourself and you're doing your team and all the people I just mentioned a disservice. That's one. But as far as like the actual analytics of it, right? I always say you cannot come in underfunded. There's going to be things that pop up, everything from workman's comp, housing, salaries, insurance, or, you know, just regular liability insurance, practice facilities, equipment, all the things that go into it. I have a friend of mine who's very interested in buying an IFL team and starting a new franchise in the East. And I told him, I said, I would see, first of all, if there's opportunities in coming in partnership with somebody who's already in place, and do that for a couple years. And if it's something that you like, then you can branch off and start your own. And if it's not, you get weaned into it. That's one thing. The other thing is, I think that you got to have a desire to be a champion. You know, I hear guys, I get it told to me all the time by other teams, that from coaches calling me up, how frustrated they are that, and not necessarily in the IFL, I'm just talking in general, that their ownership is more concerned about different factors than winning football games. And if you don't have a championship attitude and you don't want to be a champion and you don't want to sport the ring and have the trophy in your office, then don't do it. Then just don't do it. I think you got to have that Don Rackler grit, if you will, and James Steubing, how they want this thing to be a championship caliber. You know, one thing is true, and I will say this. After the 21 season, well, no, I'll go back even further than that. When I was in college, because we were an independent D1 school, and we played a pretty rough schedule. But I told the kids the same thing I tell our kids today. I'm going to give you that experience, that pro D1 or that D1 collegiate experience when you come in, regardless of what our budgets are, regardless of this, regardless of that. And I said the same speech there. I said the same speech in Albany. I said the same speech here. And I think, and in the long run, the players just want to feel like professional football players. The coaches want to feel like professional coaches. You know, it's easy to say, oh, well, don't do this and we'll do that, and don't do this and we'll do that. But, you know, last year I was gone like 340 days from my family. No one wanted to win a championship more than I did.
Because you played
football games. Oh, yeah, because it's not just my sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of your family, right? It's the sacrifice of our coaching staff being away from their families, the players being away from their families. And, yeah, we all have that love for football that allows us to do it. But it's because of those people we get the opportunities, right? So you have to have a great supportive ownership group. And they got to put themselves in your shoes sometimes and say, you know, as long as you're working hard, you're doing everything you know how to do, you know, there's some things I learned very quickly in the IFL, things I can't control, referees. Yeah. There's no reason we shouldn't have been 12-4 last year. Four games we got beat. I'll give you that. But there's no reason we shouldn't have been 12-4 last year. And, you know, so, yeah, we have a big chip on our shoulders, but back to what you're saying about ownership, they call me, I think they want to hear, because I won't lie. I won't tell them it's better than it is or it's worse than it is, or, you know, they all want to say, well, what happened in Albany, or how did it? And I said, that had nothing to do with the quality of football, because we became the benchmark of indoor football in that period we were there. And then now, God bless them, I hope they do the same thing again, because I want those banners hanging up on the wall to mean something. But I think that you have to have the mindset, not only in winning football games, not only treating the community great, not only doing all that, but being the best at what you do, being the best version of you today. And that goes for an organization as well. Were we the best version of us today? We you and I get in conversations all the time, and we talk about it, and we say, did you win the day?
Right.
And I'm blunt. I go, no, I got my ass kicked today. Or, no, we killed it today and we did great. And, you know, and you got to be your own toughest critic as an owner, as a coach, as a player. And I think I'm very optimistic about the IFL. I think there's going to be tremendous growth. I know that there's a couple teams reported in another league that just changed their logo that are antsy about maybe coming on board. And, you know, it just depends, right? It just depends on the math and the logistics and your fan base. But I hope they all we're not going anywhere. IFL's growing. Todd's doing a tremendous job. The owners around the league are doing a tremendous job. And if you're going to buy a football team, this is the league to buy it in.
Christian Palacio signing in saying that he just got his season tickets. Thank you so much, Christian, for trusting us and coming back in. Texas Pete had a question, but we have a special guest we're supposed to be bringing on here real soon.
Let's see his question real quick, and then we'll bring him on.
He wants to know how does the relationship, financial relationship with the IFL actually work? Does the team pay a franchise fee? Does the IFL cover some of the team expenses from the outside in? How does this actually work?
There's dues that are paid by every team monthly, and those go into a pool, and they get used for things like referees and other little accoutrements that may come up. The championship game is covered by a lot of those dues and things that come into place. But for the most part, when you own a team, outside of your dues, you cover your own bills. And so you got to have some giddy up in order to do that. And you want to do it first class? Do it first class.
Well, I want to break away, but there was a number you had told me that you'd told other people, and that was all long before the recent bout of inflation. $1.5 to $2 million in the first year as an operating loss is to be expected. And if you don't have that to lose, maybe you should be.
That's not a fair statement either, because things have changed a bit and the leagues have changed when I told you that. You can do it for less, and we probably should do it for a little bit less than that. But in your first year, there's so many expenses that are associated with it, from your field system, your workman's comp, your limited liability insurance coverage, your equipment, all your equipment, just setting up the proper training room. If you really do care about your players, that can get into some serious money in doing that. And then bringing on professional coaches and professional trainers and people like that, marketing people, your sales force for ticket sales, your social media people, all those different components come into the first year of truly a great operation. And then the idea is to nip that down, that first year down, over the next 3 to 5 years. At 3 years, you know, you should be even, right? And what I mean by that is you have to always be knocking that down. So what's the exit strategy of owning a professional sports team? It's selling.
You sell the team. Right.
Is it sellable? You may not ever want to sell it. I hope Don Rackley keeps the Gunslingers for 40 years, okay? You may never want to sell it. But is it marketable? Meaning, right, does it have a profit and loss statement and all that good stuff? And, you know, a lot of that comes to blue sky too, right? So you hear of teams, you know, how does an NBA team that was $145 million sell for $2.2 billion in 8 to 10 years? It's the exact same team. Now, granted, they have television contracts and all that, but salaries have gone up and everything. Cost of doing business went up. But half of that is one guy in the boardroom saying, I want to own an NBA team. Right. Well, look at look at Walton. What did Walton just pay for a professional NFL football team? Like $2 billion just to walk in the door. It was maybe more than that. I think it was even more than that. It was like probably $4 or $5 billion to just walk in the door. I don't know if it's worth it, but they've made it worth it. And I think that if all the owners start doing this, they can create their own market. Hey, I remember Tampa Bay and Woody Kern, God bless him. He bought a team for a couple hundred thousand and we had it sold for $16 million. So it's what the market will bear, right?
Right.
So I don't know if that answers your question, but
I think it gives a great insight, and we're running over time here. So it was a good question, but I thought it deserved an answer, and we're going to get some more answers from our guest tonight when we return with the second half of the first quarter. Stick around here. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tom Knotts, head coach and general manager of the San Antonio Gunslingers. It's about that time of year, recruiting time. Now, for all you that haven't played for us before, or played in the indoor football league, we're going to be having open tryouts coming up real soon. Make sure to check their social media. For those of you that do play IFL football, I can't talk to you right now until September 15th. That's okay. We're not going anywhere. Feel free to reach out after that day if you have any questions about becoming a gunslinger. Thank you and God bless.
And welcome back to Branded as we bring to the stage on a very, very split screen. That looks a little better. Austin Upshaw joins us. Austin Upshaw, one of our wide receivers, finished the year 53 receptions, 533 yards, 8 touchdowns. Welcome, Austin. Where are you?
I am in Nathrop, Colorado, right under Mount Princeton, right at the base.
Well, that sounds beautiful. What are you doing out there?
I'm working on a horse farm, leading trail rides. Yeah.
Do we call that a dude ranch?
Technically, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
That's okay.
I don't know what else you would classify it as, but
yeah, that's okay.
What it is a dream. You are living the cowboy dream out there.
Oh man, I wish I could flip my camera for y'all. My background is crazy. Every morning I wake up and I just see mountains and a beautiful sunrise. It's great.
Yeah. Hey, Austin, it's good to see you, buddy.
First off, good to see you, coach.
We were talking about you before the show, Ralph and I, and he said, "Well, what is it about Austin that you like so much?" And I said, "Before every game, I go up and watch him. When he was stretching, I'd say two or three. And he'd say, I'm gonna get you four tonight, or I'm gonna get you three tonight." And we were always talking about touchdowns, and I swear to God, if we'd have thrown him the ball more, he'd have probably done that every week. A workhorse for sure, and we're going to fix that little problem next year. It's good to see you, and and you get how many hours a day are you on a horse?
Things have kind of slowed down right now, but in the busy season, it was anywhere from 6 to 8
hours.
Hours on a horse, yes, sir.
Just wow. That's how you get those blisters.
Yeah. My feet are crazy right now.
Yeah, good for you. Well, hey, we wanted to give you a chance to first tell us, let's let everyone find out who you are. I know it's been a year, but they haven't had as much of a chance. Who you are, where you come from, family, this, that. Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay, little bio. I'm from LaPorte, Texas. That's southeast of Houston, right on the water. I played football and baseball there. A lot of people don't know I was a pretty big baseball player growing up. So that's always a cool part of my story. Then I went to SMU to play football. I was recruited as a quarterback. Played my first couple seasons there. Didn't see a whole lot of playing time, so I switched over to receiver, and I haven't really looked back since.
Yeah. What about family?
Okay, I have a brother and two younger sisters. My brother just got married and is about to deploy out to Europe for he's in the Army, so he goes out to Europe soon. So I'm hoping to get home and see him before he ships out.
Yeah, well, thank him for his service from us all. We appreciate him.
Yes, sir. He should be watching right now. They're all at home excited about it. So.
Oh, good.
Yes, sir.
Good. So you get done playing SMU, and were your first pro team?
I'd like to say so. I spent a summer in Germany playing, but it's not the same.
Right.
As over
Who'd you play for in Germany?
I played for the Munich Cowboys in the GFL.
Okay. Okay. So not WFL. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those teams where you were one of the Americans and they limited the number of Americans on the squad.
Yeah. You could only have four, two on the field at a time. Yeah. It was pretty interesting.
And you played as a receiver or a quarterback?
Receiver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you tear up that league?
It was a good experience. Yeah, I did a little bit. I didn't have the best quarterback, man. We struggled a little bit. We were 2-8, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are hard. So I know one of the things that I've been getting asked, and I'm sure you've been getting asked, since the season ended, what were the highs? What were the lows? Any good stories that you want to share? And be careful because I'm still your coach. You re-signed. Remember that. No, but now I'm kidding. What were the highs? What were the lows? You know, anything that you want to talk about?
So we played some really tough Eastern teams. You guys touched on it during the first quarter, and we held our own against all those top teams. So that was one of the highs. The offense is one of the best offenses in the league, and that was a really fun thing to be a part of. Just coming to work every day and being in that receiver room with Nooney and DJ and Kali. It was just a great experience, I'm excited to come back and do things right this year. Get the job done.
Hang on a second. The good news is Murray's coming back, DJ's coming back, Kali's coming back, and you're coming back. So
yes, sir.
I love that you guys will have year under your belts playing together.
Right.
So I wanted to ask, How would you describe your role in that receiver corps? Because I have a description, but I don't think it's really accurate to pigeonhole you as the wall guy and the guy that we throw it to. We really want to hit somebody hard, because after you catch the ball, yeah, you're no fun to tackle. Of all the guys, you're like the least fun to tackle. Collie's elusive as crud. You're not elusive. You're just going to put a hit on him.
Yeah, so I kind of got labeled that this year, but my game's a lot more versatile, and I'm hoping to display that next season. So we'll see.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever it takes to really help the team. You know, I'm not too selfish. I'm not too into stats or anything like that. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to be on the field and continue to play the game I love. So can't really complain.
One of the funny things about Austin is I may go a whole week and we don't say one word to each other. He doesn't ever cause a problem. He just does his job. You don't have to get on him about anything. He's always at practice. He's always doing this thing. He never comes up lame, right? Or you hear anything bad. And then when I do have a conversation with him, I go back in the office and go, huh, that was good. There's one that I'm like dealing with today. And it's a nice feeling when you have, and I think that goes to, you know, first off, your mom and dad probably did a hell of a job with you, because respectful and just great athlete. And yeah, I would not label him as not elusive, because I've seen him be very elusive.
Thank you.
The fact that he's on the wall, he's one of the larger receivers that we have, okay? And he's big and strong and fast, but he can move, man. And I'll tell you what, Coach Fuller, if you're listening, we got to get him the ball a lot more next year. And I think that, you know, the compliment is when you have a player like Austin, the compliment is Nooney can catch the ball if it's in the third row of the arena, okay? He can come up with some unbelievable catches. He's a great athlete, great receiver. DJ, you know, DJ gets it. DJ is elusive, and DJ is long, and he can find a way to make a play. Kali, you could put him on, you know, on a railroad track and say, don't hit the train, and he's fine. You know, he can go around it, and no one will even see him. Upshaw's got all of those things. And I think when you add all of those things with how he plays the game and his love for the game, I think that's a big tell right there. You know, the guy we got. He was, I think he was either one or my first or my second call this year. And we do the exit interviews, and I always say to the guys that I want back, I say, hey, you want to? Yep. Want to come back? Yep. I'll be back. Where are you going? Colorado. Going to go ride horses. So, yes. When do you get out of there, by the way?
I'll probably be done within the next couple of weeks. Everything's starting to slow down. Probably be coming back to Houston.
Is that when you start your training for the season?
Yes, sir.
When you get back? Take a week or two off, rest your buttocks from being on the saddle all day and work, right? I'll tell you what, right, though, people know when you ride that much, your leg strength is unbelievable, and your horse is, if you want to get in shape, man, ride a horse for 8 hours a day, because that will do it.
Heck yeah.
That will do it. Steering 1,500 pounds around all day with your knees, you know?
Right.
So And I'll tell you, and you meet some great people, I'm sure, while you're doing it, too. You meet new friends every week, right, when they come in town.
Yes, sir. It's been a blast meeting all the people and just leading all these rides. It's been fun, man. I cannot.
They just got to lock their daughters up, and you're good.
What was that?
They got to just lock the daughters up at night, and you're good.
Oh, man, I'm taking. I'm good.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, you better say hi to her then. If you're
she's actually out on a trail ride right now. She works here too.
Oh, trust me, she's gonna watch the YouTube version on rerun.
Oh yeah.
You better say hi to her. See, I'm always looking out for you guys. You guys,
you did.
You guys think you know everything. Yeah, no, that's great. Do we have any questions for Austin coming up?
We do have a couple, or at least comments.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, Ralph. I apologize, but before we do that, young man said, "Hey, coach, I'll be pulling up to the tryout September 23rd." Don't do that because you'll be in an empty field.
Yeah, he corrected himself.
Okay, good. All right. Go ahead. What do we have for Austin?
Well, I was going to say we should come back with any and all comments when we come back in the second quarter because we've already been on the air 35 minutes, Coach. We're having too much fun. We'll be back. We hit the second quarter.
Our show, and we can do what we want.
That's right. We'll be back with the second quarter in just a moment.
All right. Reputation. It defines us. How we treat the customer contributes to our reputation. It's doing the right thing every time and never cutting corners. John Wayne's customers have rewarded us with over 15,000 five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the BBB. And for that, we thank you. Wayne Service Company. Our reputation is in every truck.
John Wayne Service Company is a proud sponsor of the San Antonio Gunslingers.
It's so easy to love Pick and Pull. Why? How about the largest inventory in South Texas? How about the ease of finding your part with our interchange and real-time inventory search at pickandpullsa.com? How about an organized yard and maps to find your parts, plus a shuttle? At Pick and Pull, we make it easy to save money on the quality used auto parts you need at a price you can afford.
More to pick, less pull from your budget. Now that's Pick and Pull.
For generations, the family recipes at Carrabba's Italian Grill have been bringing people together. From the sweet smell of our scratch-made sauce to our rich layers of lasagna, we believe food made with love leads to tables filled with laughter. Dine with us or order out at Carrabba's.com.
And welcome back to the second quarter of Branded with our continuing conversation with Austin Upshaw, along with head coach Tom Manas. Comments that were just coming in. Dustin Jackson, a big fan of the Arizona Rattlers, at least conceding that we will be dangerous next season. And my comment to that is, what, we weren't dangerous last season?
No. Hey, listen, he is a really good guy. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to talk to him, but he's, I think, one of the big reasons that I love indoor football is a guy like that who just is passionate about his team, but he's on our show. I mean, look at it. You know, he's on our show talking, being complimentary to us. That doesn't mean he doesn't love his team. He just loves indoor football, and he loves the competition, and he'll always take AZ over us. But, that's when it makes it fun, too. So,
and as he should, he did have a follow-up to that. Did you get your mug? And is it IFL?
Okay, he actually made me a mug, if you can believe this. When we were in Vegas, and he gave it to Pam, and I didn't get it from Pam, and I said, I'll get it when I come back in town. I'm going to be there the 14th. I'll be back in San Antonio. I'm sure it'll be sitting in my house. And looking forward to getting it. And I will call you and thank you personally, as always.
And let's see other comments that we had. Mary Picascio saying we have the best team. We are number one. Well, we definitely have the number one offense. That's for sure.
Well, I think what she means by that, though, is not just wins and losses. I think she means everything we do. I mean, look at it. It's, what is it today? September 4th, right? Season ended officially in the league August 17th. And here we are. We've already had three shows or four shows in between that. We got Austin on, who's taking time out of his day to be with us. And we're a 365 team, and not a lot of teams can say that. And we're, you know, our players are home working out, getting ready. We're on here doing our thing. We're recruiting. We're doing all that stuff. I know our front office is doing their thing. So, yeah, in a lot of ways, we are number one, you know, at what we do. So, don't worry. The wins are going to catch up. That's going to happen. That is going to happen. Look at Austin. Ask Austin if that's going to happen. You know, I make a point when they walk in my office, I got all my championships around. I got about half of them sitting up there. I got my championship rings sitting up there in glass little cases. And every one of them walks in and act like they don't look at them.
I know.
And that's why I got them there. I don't wear them, but I got them sitting there. And I got them sitting there because nothing beats – there's no better feeling in the entire world than when you do your ring ceremony and you get to hand your players their rings. There's nothing better. And my biggest dream is to hand one to Don and Pam and James and Stephanie and then every coach, every player. And I'm telling you the truth, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I don't give a rat's ass if I get one. That'll be the best day of my life, is giving this group of young men a ring. So we're gonna be just fine. And thank you for that. I agree with you. We are number one in a lot of ways.
Lori Lerma just chiming in saying, hey, Upshaw. And an actual question here from Texas Pete for Austin. Which team are you most eager to play against again, and why?
That's for you, Austin.
Yeah, I want Frisco again. I was upset that we dropped the series to him. And I want to win the state of Texas this year. So. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing Frisco.
And that makes sense because, yeah, I get that. You said southeast of Houston, it's like has to be on the water. There's only so where to go, but always Texas. And, yeah, definitely one play. Go ahead, Coach.
No, I have two teams that I really want to play. See if you agree with this, Austin. I really and truly would love an opportunity to play Bay Area again. And the second team is Arizona, the Rattlers.
Yes, sir.
And then the third dream matchup I want is I want us to go against Gibby and Jacksonville Sharks.
Oh, that's
for personal reasons. I love Gibby. Don't get me wrong. I just think that would be a hell of a game. Two former battling it out again. You know, we both came into the league at the same time, and let's see who's worth their mud, you know. I'd love that because I like the guys in Jacksonville. I really do, and I think that I would love to get this team the experience of going there and playing a game. I just found out today, too. I did not know this. There's three airlines in Jacksonville that fly direct flights to San Antonio.
There's nonstops, direct. Yes.
How did we not play them this year?
The schedule to you and me was a mystery even from the beginning.
Oh,
or a bad joke, one or the other. Eben Caldwell shining in, saying, Upshaw.
What up, E?
And a generic, this is a player question, so this is all you as well. Austin, what's your mindset when you start a game? What are your priorities when you step on the field? You have a poker face, and it is awesome.
Yeah, so getting ready for a game really starts early in the week at practice. And for me, it's really important for me to have good practices and feeling comfortable with the game plan and the plays that we're running. So it starts early in the week, starts on Monday or Tuesday. And then by the time the game gets there, after that first possession, after that first catch, things get rolling pretty easy. It gets going pretty naturally.
Yeah, it's funny. He always, when I see him before pregame, when pregame stretching, he's big smile on his face. He's happy to be there. And I tell these guys, work your ass off Monday through Friday and have fun on Saturday.
Right.
You know, that's what you do this for. You don't do this for Tuesdays. You know, you do it for Saturday nights. So have fun, enjoy yourself, you know, and he'll tell you he's sick of hearing it. And I always say, just be the best version of you. That's why you're here. And right. If you can do that, man, it could be, it's a good, good time. You know, we got to just tell those refs, be the best version of themselves too, I guess. But anyway, what else we got for Austin?
That's pretty much it as far as the questions go, unless another one comes in.
I got a couple for Austin, and then we'll wrap it up and let the poor guy get some rest. He's been on a horse all damn day. All right. So, Austin, I got a question for you. What is your favorite route to run as a receiver?
Anything with a double move is always fun, especially if you're able to set it up with a route early in the game. So double moves are fun. Posts are fun. Anything like in breaking across the field, any chance for a deep ball, you got to take advantage of that. Double moves and deep balls. Hopefully we see a lot of those this year.
Yeah, I'd like that. And then my second question is, once you catch the ball, okay, once you catch the ball, is it become reactive or does it become proactive? Like, you're going to do what you're going to do regardless of what they're doing, or are you going to react to how they come at you?
I feel like it's a mixture of both. Like, depending on the concept and kind of like what the defense is running, that kind of changes what you can do with it after you get the ball. But a lot of it is reactive. You just kind of take a quick scan of the field and go to green, open space. Try to get away from the people who are chasing you.
I agree, right. Yeah. So right. A part B to that question is, since this is your first year of indoor football, how was it adjusting to what you had to use as landmarks on the field? Obviously, it's a much smaller field, right? It took a second probably knowing where the hashes, how condensed everything is, how the wall is going to be right there. You know, from the outside of the numbers to the wall, how much room you have, this, that. How difficult was that as an adjustment?
I'd say it was honestly kind of difficult because I had never experienced anything like that before. So it took, I'd say, 3 or 4 games for me to start to really feel comfortable with running routes and being in the right spot on an IFL field versus an outdoor field. Catching the ball, you have to be quick. Yeah, you got to think quick because they're coming. It's not a whole lot of room. So,
well, you know, I tell that to people all the time. They said, oh, they're running a zone defense or they're running this. And I said, I don't think you guys understand. After about a second and a half, everything turns into man.
Right. Right.
You know, it's that fast. Right. Mm-hmm. When you get a sack in this league, that's something to celebrate because that ball comes out so fast. Right.
Yeah.
Everything's quicker. Last question. I'm going to let you out of here. Love or hate the wall?
I think, man, you got to love the wall. It's part of the game. It's what makes it different. So, you know, I made my money out there this year, so. I gotta love it.
Yep, I'll tell you what. Now, when I'm talking about actually hitting the wall,
you know, I think, you know, my favorite part about playing for the Gunslingers is what Mr. Reckler has done for our home arena, and I think we have the best walls in the country.
And agreed.
Yeah, they're super padded. So at home, I don't mind. It's the away games that it gets a little dicey.
Yeah. I'll tell you the one that got me. Isn't Bay Area's low? Remember Bay Area?
Was low.
Mm-hmm. Low, because I remember standing on the bench, and normally you can just kneel on, you know, lean on the bench. Mm-hmm. Dasher, that one you had to, like, put your hands down. It was crazy how low they were, and I thought, boy, you're going to fly over these walls pretty easy. But anyway, I just wanted to get your thought on it. And Austin, I can just tell you, I can't wait to see you, give you a big hug, and can't wait to have you back in town. Be careful on the horses the last couple weeks, all right, and get yourself ready, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Hey, when you're back in Houston, you might want to come up for the tryout. and come in for that day and give us a hand, but also let some of these young guys trying out see what a pro football player does.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that sounds good. I can do that.
Okay, great. See, I put him on the spot on the show. He can't say no, right?
we had another suggestion, perhaps even more ridiculous, and I think I know where this is going to go. Texas Pete says Austin should ride out on a horse in a field when the team comes out with a gunslinger's flag.
Yeah, we've given up on horses. It's the business end of the horse that we're worried about, you know, on the field. It's a whole other set of problems. So,
right.
But, he can gallop if he wants, I guess, but that might be his new deal. So do you wear a cowboy hat when you're on your horse?
Yes, sir, I do.
Where is it? You got it with you?
No, I don't. It's in my my camper.
Oh, okay.
Next time.
Next time. Because I want to do a show. I want to do a show before the season starts where I want to have the four of you guys on. I want to have Kali, DJ, Murray, and Austin back on. And I'm going to just shut off my mic and listen. that will be a fun show. Those guys would go at it. So,
yes, sir.
Again, buddy, thank you again. God bless you. Be safe. And I'm looking forward to seeing you real soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me. Can't wait to get back to work.
Thanks.
All right. And this has been our interview with Austin Upshaw, wide receiver of the San Antonio Gunslingers. We'll be back with the third quarter in just a moment.
We all need hot water. Some of us need more than others. So it's a good thing that State has a wide range of tough commercial-grade water heaters for your home. From standard models to high-efficiency and tankless models, we've got you covered. No matter where you live, what you do, or who started it. To install a State water heater in your home,
call John Wayne today or visit us at johnwayne.com.
Hey, San Antonio, are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matangas, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in-store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in-store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas roll. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza because we had the name of pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matangas near you.
Welcome to South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital and Outpatient Center. Step into our operating rooms, where highly skilled surgeons work hand-in-hand with specialized technicians. Our dedicated team has extensive experience and expertise in spine and surgical procedures. Our commitment to patient safety is unwavering. We understand that your well-being is at the heart of everything we do. South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital and Outpatient Center, where expertise, longevity, and state-of-the-art technology come together for your health.
And welcome back to the third quarter. He's Tom Manas. I'm Ralph Judkins, and we had a lot of fun in the first two quarters, so we kind of have to move things along. Wanted to ask Coach last week, we ran out of time there. The big thing on the team that we're really, really hoping for to go to the next level is players, coaches, everyone showing grit. Guys that will give not just everything all the time, but even when it's really, really, really freaking hard. And I know Coach has played with and has coached a lot of players. We only want to talk about players that are perhaps no longer in the game because there's a lot of great players out there right now, and we don't want to start a firefight. So for Tom Manas's Grit Hall of Fame, the best former players that you've either played with or coached based on that ineffable grit.
There's a few. Kind of caught me off guard here. Played with, I would have to say, Ken Fantetti, who is a linebacker, Mac linebacker, Mike linebacker for the Detroit Lions. Here's the story with Fantetti, and it's almost legendary. Fantetti went to tackle Walter Payton, and he was off-angled and tried to arm tackle him and blew up his shoulder the first time we played him. It was a mess. Major surgery, rotator cuff, labrum. I think even tore the top of his bicep. It was bad, right? So the next time we're playing Payton, Fantetti wasn't supposed to dress. It was like 8 weeks later, and he had his uniform on, but he was standing on the sidelines, basically. And Chicago's going up and down the field, and Fantetti goes up to Monty Clark, and he goes, "Put me in." He goes, "Are you nuts? You still got stitches in. You know, what are you, crazy?" And he goes, "Put me in." And Monty's trying to ignore him. Monty walks away. Fantetti runs out in the field, tells the other Mac linebacker, Mike linebacker.
This is the NFL we're talking about here, folks.
Yeah, this is when you could have blood on your jersey, okay? And the next play, it's like a power, and Fantetti times it perfectly and knocks the living crap out of Sweetness. Knocks the living crap out of him. Gets up and looks like he got shot with the shotgun. All of his stitches blew out. Everything. He's like, "Yeah." And I thought, wow. I mean, wow. This is a man amongst men, right, kind of guy. That was probably when I knew, because he was undersized. You know, he wasn't huge. He was like a Mike Curtis back in the day for football fans that remember Mike Curtis and Nick Bonacani, the smaller linebackers. And he was just a really special dude. In college, though, there were a few guys, but I think our quarterback, Daryl Dickey. Daryl, you know, I don't think he weighed 180 pounds, 175 pounds, and he would run the ball, throw the ball, do whatever it took. It was a great leader for our team, kept the circus in check, if you will, in the huddle. And I really enjoyed playing for him. As his lineman, he was a special dude. We had a defensive back, Jim Bob Morris, who was incredible athlete, Olympic caliber triple jumper, college basketball player, and D1 football player. I mean, this guy was Bo Jackson before there was Bo Jackson. And then Will Coakley, our other outside linebacker. Those guys were just special, the way they played football. They were just really special football players. I could talk about some players that are currently playing right now, but I won't, because then the arguments start. Another guy was Mo Ruffins, and we just lost Mo a couple years back, way too young. Mo was a good football player all around. He was just a good football player, good lineman, just a really good lineman. But he was the best at defending onside kicks or getting onside kicks I've ever seen in my life. Anybody for his size. He's probably 6'6", 330 pounds. And this guy would light up the guys trying to get the ball. I mean, knock them 10 feet backwards, and fearless. And I really miss Mo. He was a great, great football player. He died way too young. Then coaches. I mean, I didn't get to ever play against him or coach against him, but Nick Saban, you know, come on. And Belichick, come on. You know, I miss those guys. I miss watching them do their craft. I really do. Now, there's some great coaches out there now, but those guys are just special, you know, just absolutely special. So I think that's probably it. Best owner I had, No doubt about it. 100%. Don Rackler and James Stubing. And I'm not saying that because I'm on the show. I'm saying that because that's the truth. Best owners I've ever had in my life. Because they're passionate, you know, and everything they do. So, yeah, that's about it.
All right, that'll do it for the third quarter. I would say that to summarize everything Tom said, if I dare summarize everything that Tom said, he said so, I want to say, last week when we were talking about the new kickoff rule, man, I miss football. These are the kind of guys that he's talking about when he says, I miss football.
Oh, yeah. You want to be a gladiator, right? You want to be – well, here's the best line I heard ever. Someone just quote – I'm going to steal it, and I apologize because I don't remember who said it. But he said, the problem is that everyone – oh, it was a Navy SEAL. He said, everyone wants to be a Spartan, but no one wants to train like a Spartan and sacrifice like a Spartan. He said, everyone wants to be one of the 300, but no one wants to work there.
I don't remember his name, but that was the two-star commander of Special Forces, and we obviously watch the same YouTubes occasionally.
Yeah, so when he said that, it just struck me as, you know what, he's absolutely right.
Right.
You know, right. Everyone wants to be something, right? We all do. We all aspire to it. You know, you want to be a good coach. You want to be a great player. You want to be a good cowboy. You want to be a good business person. You want to be whatever. It's just the work ethic has changed, and we want it faster. You know, I don't know if I ever told you this story, and I'll be quick, but so I walked into the house one day. I was 15 years old, and my dad was sitting at the kitchen table, and boy, I miss him. He was sitting at the kitchen table, and you know those olive green phones that you have? You know, in the kitchen. Remember those? The olive green phone.
Really long, twisty thing that always got turned into a knot.
But the one in the kitchen always had the 20-foot cord, you know? Yes. So when we got a call from a girl, we used to have to take the phone, we'd run around the corner in the family room and talk, right? This is what it's surprising. And I walked in one day, and my dad was doing pretty well at that point. We were living a good life. And he had a screwdriver out, and he had this phone all taken apart. And I said, Pop, what are you doing? He said, I'm fixing the phone. I said, Dad, those are like 15 bucks at Sears. And he goes, I don't care how much it costs. He goes, I'm fixing this phone. And so I sat down next to him, and he's working on the phone. And he said, you see this as a $15 phone. I see that as when you got a call from the Lions. I see that when you were talking to your wife. I see that when your mom found out that your brother's wife was pregnant. I see that when I got a call to tell me that my mom or my dad had passed away. I, you know, he goes, this phone is a hell of a lot more than $15. And nowadays we're more apt to just, oh, let's get a new one. Oh, let's do this. And the same thing goes with sport, I think, to a certain degree. People just assume, I don't have to practice Monday through Thursday. I'll just practice Friday, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, my talent.
I don't have to do this because I can do that. I don't have to watch film because I'm smarter than they are. Coach is thinking, I'll just do this game plan because I'm smarter than they are. And I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And I know that makes me sound prehistoric, but I really miss it. And I hope we get back to it. You know, I hope, and I think we are. I think there's this generation of athletes like Austin, like DJ, like Quan, like Caldwell, like all those guys, Ali and all them. I think they know you got to put in the work. And I think they look forward to it. And we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Don't try taking the shot that you haven't tried 1,000 times at practice.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So when you heard Austin say, I like practice because it gives me a chance to work on game plan and work on this and work on – there you go. So Gunslinger fans, that's the kind of team we're putting together for you again. So,
yep. Well, we'll be back with the fourth quarter to wrap this one up. We got a lot of things to talk about dealing with next year when we return. You're watching Branded, brought to you by South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital.
Quality. Here at John Wayne, it's not just a word, it's our foundation. From the people we employ, to the service that's provided, to the equipment that we design and install, quality matters. For nearly 20 years, providing quality Texas comfort to the San Antonio area communities has been our highest priority. For quality you can count on, call John Wayne today.
John Wayne Service Company is a proud sponsor of the San Antonio Gunslingers.
What can I say? Comes with the job. One minute I'm making a one-hand catch on the sideline. Next minute, it's lights out, and I'm on the sideline. And that's why I like Complete Care, because they're fast, just like me. They have ultrasound, CAT scan, x-ray, and even on-site lab. So if you get sidelined, nowhere to go. Complete Care, official sponsor of the San Antonio Gunslinger.
And welcome back to the fourth quarter here on Branded with head coach Tom Manas. Well, we're definitely in the era of the everyone wanting to get a job. They all got to send you a tape, coach. You got any advice to anyone that's trying to become a pro athlete? I guess an athlete at any level, and sending out tape to a prospective head coach, general manager, and trying to get noticed?
You know, it's a tough thing to do. It really is. I personally think that if you send in tape, send it in against a quality opponent, you know, don't send it in to, you know, don't send me 7-on-7 film. Don't send me, you know, if you're a D1 guy, don't send me when you played, you know, a D3 school. Send me level of competition film. Don't just send a highlight. I always encourage you to send your highlight reel and then go, here's three games, complete games I played in. I'm number 13. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to call. You know, I love those calls. The other one is, as we're getting close, if you're with an IFL team, right, on the 15th, the morning of the 15th, I'll be sitting at my desk at 6 a.m. in San Antonio. So pick up the phone, call me, and say, hey, I want to talk about being a gunslinger. And that's easy. I have access to your film in that way. And we can talk through whatever opportunities are afforded to you. And then the third way is, you know, show up at the tryout, you know, show up and ball out, you know, just do something and be in the best shape of your life, be the best version of you. You know, there's going to be quite a few guys there. And I think I told you, Ralph, before the show even started, I said, you know, I'm going to save 5 spots on that camp roster, just in case, with the numbers we're getting, We may be, you know, afforded the opportunity to sign some talent people don't know about. So, and even if you played for somebody else and it's been a while, come to the tryout. You know, there's no better way of proving your point, you know.
Well, I did have another question about it. It's sort of unrelated, but not related to players. Masked Man of San Antonio, we know him. He's been at the show live. Says, excited for next season. Locked in as a third year being a fan. Second year as a season ticket holder. Would like to try out as a mascot. Love to try out as a mascot. Where does he send his film, and what should that look like?
Send it to James Steubing and Don Rackler.
Okay.
I have nothing to do with that stuff, nor do I want to. No, but it's an art form in itself, and I let the guys who write the checks make that decision, you know.
Did have a question here. Hopefully you saw this one as it came in. Hopefully this makes sense. From Island Boys Ice Cold 44 CD, Coach Tom and us. Did you collect the playbook from my brother, Tom Robinson? Something about $50 million, Buffalo Wild Wings, San Antonio Gunslingers in Texas, and Donald J. Trump. I'm not sure how all that's related and if it violates our mandate. But
I'm sure I did.
Okay.
I'm sure he did. And if I didn't, or if he got out of town without it, or with it, it changes every week, so it's not a big deal.
Dustin Jackson saying if he was in San Antonio in November, he'd try out just for the experience. Everybody who tries out, I mean, I was there last year, I saw it. Coach always says it. You're going to get a serious look, a serious amount of coaching. Individual and it's going to be worth your time to develop. And we do have an answer to the question from the Masked Man of San Antonio. Mascot inquiries are sent to April@sanantoniogunslingers.com. That is San Antonio.
Jordan sent that.
Jordan just sent that in as a message as well.
See, now leave it to Jordan to put his wife like that. Right now she's going to have 800 videos of guys wanting to be mascots. No, I'm just kidding. No, okay, then there you go. You got it from the horse's mouth. So I just, as long as you don't send them to me, we're good.
Right.
You know, but, the interesting part of that is that the guys that come to camp, to trial camp, train, you know, or tryouts, the reason I wanted to have the lunch after the camp is so I can sit down with the players and do some one-on-one interviews too. Because more often than not, guys that are on the bubble get signed after you learn more about them. So.
Yeah, you saw Jordan's reply to that, is that she asked me to, and he says, I designed the suit and she fills it. So we've got a costume. Jordan is now doing costume design.
Well, he is the best at what he does. And April, God bless her, you know, just another box she has to check off every day. So, yeah, no, that's good.
And I guess a hint for that lunch interview, a very, very important interview, the type of players we're looking for, it's not just the physicality. What are we looking for first, Coach?
Well, obviously we want character. You know, we want the respect factor there. You know, not, hey, dude, hey, bro. We want to see how they carry themselves in the room, you know. Want to find out. You can tell about their vocabulary, their intelligence, their background. You ask them things, you know. It was funny because I was talking to this one kid, great kid. And I was going to sign him. This is years ago, not here. And the kid said, yeah, as long as you call my probation officer, we're straight. And I didn't make that the killer. I just said, well, you know, I'm thinking,
okay, what's the conviction warrant, for? You
didn't pay, bench warrant, you didn't pay traffic tickets, you know, this, that. No, it was home invasion, armed home invasion. And I went, you know what? Let me think about it, and I'll call you. I didn't know if he was going to pull out a gun and shoot me if I said no.
Right, no, right.
It was just one of the more odd ones that I've had.
That'll stick in your brain.
And then here's the other thing, too. this is going to sound very unsympathetic, okay? If you start your conversation with, I didn't have this, I didn't have that, you know, I came from a single family home, my dad beat me, my mom was on drugs, my this, my that, and all that, that has nothing to do with you dropping five passes in your tryout. We're not going to sign you because you got a sad story. Okay. I'm sympathetic and I will pray for you. I'll sit down right there and then and pray with you. But it has nothing to do with football at the end of the day. So you're better off coming in and being positive, being yourself, being articulate, being respectful, being on time, and how you carry yourself. I watch everything, how body language, hands on hips, guys, you know, hands. I call these hands up guys. You ever watch a play where there's a touchdown scored and they go like this and then they start pointing at the other guy? I hate that. I hate that. And I hate the my bad. That's the other one. You know, 10,000 people know it's your bad. Okay, you don't have to do it. We got it. Just don't do it again. Yeah. So
learn.
Yeah.
Any updates before we wrap this one up and give everyone a real big surprise ending? Any updates on free agency that you want to share with us now?
I can't.
Okay.
No, I mean, the non-IFL players that I'm in touch with, it's going well, but on my board are IFL players, right? So I have IFL unsigned players on my board that I want to get through before I start looking at outside of IFL players. Then if I look at IFL players, then I've got to have the best film in hand, all that stuff. So I would say we'll do a big push between September 15th and October 1st as far as communication. And then October 1st, I'm going to have a stack of contracts like this sitting on my desk and hopefully execute them all the morning of October 1st. And then again, hopefully within October, we would be announcing QB1 as well, or QB. We already have Mr. Caldwell, which I'm very happy about, but also looking at another quarterback or two as well. So, yep.
So that is the big update on free agency as we see it. And if you're one of those prospects and you don't hear from Coach and it's October 2nd, what should you make of that?
Nothing. I mean, there's only so many hours in a day and there's only so many calls you can make. And it doesn't mean that you're not a priority to us. It just means that the availability of people that we'd be working with from the September 15th to October 1st had already come into play, and we're going to get them out of the way first. I would say you're pretty much, we're at like, what, 10 now, I think, signed. Right. I would think we'll probably be somewhere in the ballpark of 25 to 30 by the end of the first week of August or October.
And so that puts you in a good position if you're going to make the team, get an invitation to in camp. And once you're in camp, it's all you.
It's on you. Yeah.
Well, anything else before we wrap this quarter up?
Nope, that's it.
All right. We will be back with our grand finale and our wrap up when we return. You're watching Branded, brought to you by South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital.
Thank you. It's the high school football season, the most exciting time of the year.
That's right, Greg, and John Wayne Service Company is in on the action with Texas Sports Productions.
Watch and listen to the hundreds of games this season on the all-new TSP app and vote for the John Wayne Player of the Game during the games and the John Wayne Player of the Week beginning on Sundays during the season.
Go to johnwayne.com to vote and be automatically entered to win a $10,000 home makeover.
Get in the game today with TSP
and John Wayne Service Company.
Hey, San Antonio, are you tired of the same old chain pizza that tastes like cardboard? I thought we were done eating paper in school. Maybe not. It's up to you. At Matangas, we bring you flavors that are authentically Texan. We're talking about fresh dough that we made in-store every single day. We're talking about cheese that's shredded in-store for that authentic cheese flavor. We're talking about brisket because this is Texas, y'all. We're talking about our Texas rolls. Can't get those anywhere else. We're talking about Texas ranch because when you put jalapenos and ranch together and you dip it in with pizza, and just drink it. Lastly, we got a pothole pizza because we had to name a pizza after our roads. You know what I'm talking about. Can't wait to see you soon. Find a Matangas near you.
All right, team, huddle up. Just like in surgery, we need precision and teamwork. Trust me, just like on the field, if we stick to the playbook, we'll achieve excellence.
Coach, are you sure about this?
We've trained for this. We're experts. The San Antonio Gunslingers in South Texas Spine and Surgical Hospital and Outpatient Center, where precision meets performance.
Well, that'll wrap up another episode, our 40th episode here for the show. Next show will be next week on September 11th, and we will be live on September 18th from a location in San Antonio. Did have a last-minute question from Dustin Jackson. Any teasers on the ball color scheme for 2025?
Knowing Don, I would probably say we're sticking with red, white, and blue of some sort, right?
Yeah, I don't know what else we could go with. I really don't know. So make sure before we sign off here, you have liked and subscribed before you go. Coach, any of the final good nights?
Just to my babies, Eli, Mila, and Liliana. Time to go to bed. I love you.
This has been Branded for September 4th, 2024. And as always, keep your guns up. Good night, everybody. Thank you.